10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall, your source for the truth and what's really happening today.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Nathan Liao, and this is the Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall program. This is our second installment coming to you Tuesday, October 11th, 2011, the year of our Lord. And on today's program, I want to discuss our present location in the historical narrative that is still underway. And folks, I need to stress the word still, because the story remains in motion. Motion, folks. The story of America's downfall is still underway. It has not ceased. In layman's terms, doom has not been canceled. And if you took note at the title of today's program, Doom Fatigue, I want to talk about it and deal with it and treat it. I'm sharing this update because as I look around over the last several weeks, it would seem that things are quiet, even to the point where it's dimming the lights of individuals and making them drowsy. It's been quiet enough to put some people to sleep. So my friends, today I'm coming to you with a report from the wall. And the report is this. Please, my friends, do not become drowsy and go to sleep. I want to challenge all of you to continue your efforts of vigilance. Folks, for those of you that have been on board, and for those of you that have been on this journey long enough, by now you're aware that there's a temptation that can exist, which can cause us to say or to think, okay, I'm ready, so where's the doom? And then if nothing happens, then doubt starts to set in to cause us to think that maybe it's not going to come for a long time, or it never was coming, and we were just deceived. We listened to some crazy guy on the radio or over the internet and made to believe that things were bad when they really weren't. That temptation of doubt can come in, my friends. Another temptation of doubt can be that doom may have been coming, but now it's canceled. I was worried, but maybe enough people prayed, so maybe it's not going to happen after all. Maybe it's going to go away. Perhaps everything's going to return to normal, like it once was. You know, folks, having all of these different thoughts can make a person experience what I call doom fatigue. And that's why I want to talk about this. Because when a person goes through all of these different mental roller coaster rides, these cycles can be mentally draining. And it's overwhelming. It can take a toll on the energy that's needed to just function. And this doom fatigue that I'm talking about is when the threat of major doom was occupying your thoughts and your efforts to the point of actual adrenaline creation. But then when it did not happen as expected, there's an adrenaline dump, leaving a person feeling emotionally drained, tired, spent. And then if this person who is experiencing this fatigue knows someone who gives them a hard time in the first place, denying the doom events, and they're a scoffer or they mock them or argue with them a lot, that also takes a mental toll. And then after a while, the mocker or the scoffer can come around and fill the person with doubt, with accusation, or even embarrassment. And folks, right now, I'm noticing that this seems to be happening with some people. I can sense it. Why? Well, it's because of a recent doom event that just passed all of us. And that doom event is Elenin. Folks, I know that many, many people wondered about Elenin. Many people were concerned. Some people expected some things to happen. A lot of people spent their time and energy researching it, trying to keep on top of it, abreast of it, trying to understand it, and trying to know about it, whether it was true or not. And because of some of the information that was out there on the internet, there's probably a fairly large group of individuals that were expecting something major to happen with Elnin. But then, on the storm front, as far as actual tectonic damage goes, up to this point, she was a no-show. There were a lot of people wondering, including myself, if she was an actual comet or if she was something bigger. When she was millions and millions of miles out in space, there was no way for us to know. So a lot of people were speculating and wondering if she was going to really, really wreak havoc on this Earth. So many, many people were on the Elnin ride or were wondering, and now here we are. Yom Kippur just passed, Rosh Hashanah is behind us, and up to this point, we did not have the huge, huge, large earthquake that was supposed to happen. So the big question is, was it all a false alarm? Was it nothing? Should we be embarrassed that we were actually wondering about it or concerned about it? Folks, I can sense that there are many who doubted in the first place and that did not believe that Elnin was a threat, now feel that they have fuel for their fire. And now they have rocks to hurl from their slings for mocking and scoffing the entire warning message. I can see that some individuals would use the Elnin story to try to nullify all of the prophetic warning message that God has been speaking to us for several years now. So while many people were looking up for Elnin, a lot of people have been wondering about it. Some people might be wondering, maybe it's all a lie. Maybe none of it's true. Folks, there's a lot of temptations to have this frame of thought, and I understand it. Those of you that are regular listeners, you heard me ask out loud about it. I did talk about it. I wondered out loud, but I did not know. Last week on our first program, I briefly broached the subject of Elnin, and last week I said, I guess Elnin didn't happen like we all thought. And I got an email from a listener yesterday, and I want to read it to you. Nathan, I actually think huge things happened with Elnin. So this person does believe that Elnin was something. So let me read it right here, folks. It's just like Yeshua's birth. It was quiet and only a few knew. You know, folks, that's true. When Jesus was born, the majority of the world did not know. The only ones that knew were Mary and Joseph and the shepherd boys that showed up. But other than that, who knew in the entire planet that the visitation from God had been fulfilled? Reading on, it is true that nothing seemed to happen. September 27th came and went with the world leaders all on recess. Obama and all of the NASA officials were in Denver near the DIA, Deep Underground Military Base, and Denver had a terrorist attack drill in 5 locations. That's true, folks. That's a coincidence. Reading on, the closest approach of Elnin is not until November 11th, 2011. So 11-11-11. Now that is true also, folks, so we need to keep that in mind. That's still a month away. He goes on, also, Satan was really busy. Elnin has been the most versatile object yet observed in the heavens. People say, look, it's a comet. No, it's a brown dwarf. No, it's a pyramid. It's big. It's small. It's broken up. It's still intact. It's a half a lump and a woozle. That's an interesting term. Thank you, listener. Some humor there. Reading on. People just lost interest after all these ups and downs. Very clever. But here's the amazing thing after all of this. Elnin just kept on trucking to arrive in the constellation Virgo, which is the Virgin, at the appointed time of the Feast of Trumpets, to point out to an uninterested world the fulfillment of Revelation 12. Now, a few months back, I did a program with Augusto Perez where Augusto pointed out that Revelation 12 mentions the great sign in heaven. If you're not familiar with that program, folks, read Revelation 12. And Augusto presented the thought that that passage in Revelation 12, which for the most part has been interpreted to mean one thing, actually has another layer to it. And that is this, that Revelation 12 shows us one of the signs that would be in the constellations, in the heavens, at the end of time, before Jesus came back. And if you're not familiar with that program, and you might be scratching your head saying, Nathan, what are you talking about? Well, on that program, we were discussing that in Genesis chapter 1, where it says that God created the stars and the sun and the moon, one of the reasons he created these things were for signs. So when we go to Revelation, it says there was a sign in the heavens. And that would be the aspect of signs in the constellations, similar to what the wise men might have seen at the birth of Jesus, then it makes sense, and it brought some things into focus. Now, at this point in time, I am not going to argue, and I'm just reading this letter, folks, because I believe that as Bereans, we should examine everything. We should examine the entire matter. And for some things that we may disagree on, or perhaps if we're limited in our understanding, one choice of logic would be to leave it on the table and to also leave it under possible consideration because, you know, folks, we really don't know. Did Elnathan fulfill Revelation 12? Well, let's read on. So Elnathan just kept on trucking to arrive in the constellation Virgo, the Virgin, at the appointed time of the Feast of Trumpets to point out to an uninterested world the fulfillment of Revelation 12. Elnathan is God's pointer. Then it goes on to paint the beautiful prophecy with the constellations. So according to this email, Elnathan was a sign in the heavens, and Elnathan told a story. Now, I do not have the programs that can look at the stars in the heavens, starry nights. There are also some that are free, so those of you that are students of this science, you know what I'm talking about. But if it is true that she was a sign, that means that it was God ordained. That means that God likes to give us little hints to what's going on, and only the wise ones are going to notice. Because when Jesus came the first time, there weren't many wise men, folks. Out of the entire planet, when we consider all of the continents and the population of the entire earth, how many humans actually looked up into the sky and noticed that there was something different going on when Messiah was born? I would say it was very, very few. So here we are in our location toward the very end of time, near the second advent of Jesus. And it says in the Gospels that there shall be signs in the heavens. It says that. The sun and the moon, men's hearts failing them for fear. Revelation says there was a sign in the heavens. So according to how it seems like it is reading, it does appear that God is going to give that little hint of wise information in the heavens. So was Elnathan one of those hints? That's the big question. And if she was a hint, if she did tell a story, then the conclusion would be that she is giving an introduction to the next chapter of our story. Wouldn't that be something, folks, if the introduction, if Elnathan was the maestro, the narrator of the next act of God's heavenly divine production here on earth? There's a chance that this is true, folks. But at the same time, I'm also not sure, but I am open to it being possible. So that's why I'm sharing it with you. So folks, in conclusion, we do not know all of the details of what's to come. I don't know all of the details, and we still have another month when Elnathan is going to get even closer to the earth. So I guess still we just need to wait and see. So for all of you that have been wondering about what's going on, why didn't it happen? Boy, should I be embarrassed right now. Boy, do I feel silly. For those of you that may feel that way, folks, I want to encourage you. I want to just communicate with you not to give up. And there is no reason to feel silly, because while we're being vigilant, from time to time, the military will have false alarms. From time to time, law enforcement will receive a false alarm. From time to time, the air raid sirens will go off when the threat really wasn't a threat at all. So if Elnathan is a false alarm, let's visit that one for a second, folks. Does that mean that all of the other warnings are also false? No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean that, folks, because one thing that we can already confirm for sure is that America is presently under judgment right now. Also, the other thing that we can confirm without a doubt is that Europe is under judgment right now. Folks, it's obvious. The economies of these two regions of the world are teetering over a cliff, and during times of blessing, we wouldn't have this happening. So right now, there are some events that are still underway, and as I stated last week, I never had prophetic dreams and visions about Elnathan, but I did have prophetic dreams and visions about an economic collapse coming to this country. I did have some prophetic dreams and visions about the aftermath of these events, the aftermath, the change in our lifestyle, the destruction of our first world living standard. And I also saw in prophetic dreams and visions judgment on America as far as war, as far as an attack, as far as many people finding themselves displaced, dislocated, losing their wealth, losing their possessions, having to relocate. I saw a police state come. I saw tyranny come. Folks, those things are still underway. And the train of those events is still barreling down the track, and these things are still approaching us. They're not going to be stopped. They have not been canceled. They have not been nullified. So my friends, keep your battle armor on. I want to encourage you not to give up. I understand that there's a temptation to feel burned out. I understand there's a temptation to just throw your hands up in the air and say, I've had enough of this. I'm going to unplug. I want to take the blue pill and just forget everything. My friends, I understand that temptation. I understand that fatigue does come. I understand that doom fatigue does come. That's why we're talking about it right now. But we have to shine the light on it, and let's talk about it, folks. Let's visit it. Let's not be afraid and embarrassed about it. Let's understand that it does come from time to time. Let's understand that all soldiers do have to deal with it from time to time. But let's also deal with it and understand it and overcome it. Now, if perchance some of you need to take a break from your vigilance, and what I mean about vigilance is the constant scouring of news sites and internet websites and radio programs that talk about all of the doom. And folks, I know the lifestyle of a person that's on board with coming events. I understand that lifestyle. I know many, many people in this lifestyle. And this lifestyle can take its toll because it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of energy. Going to the same websites every day. Going to Alex Jones's website every day or listening to him for a while. Going to some of the forums that are out there. Some of the news blogs. Going to Drudge. Everyone has their favorites. And I know that listening to all of this information can become tiring. So then when we add on top of that the no-show up to this point, I want to qualify it, of Elanon, I understand that there's a temptation to want to unplug from the bad news. So I want to say this, folks. If you feel overwhelmed with this and you want to take a break from your news vigilance, then by all means, my friends, take a break. But please, my friends, do not take a break from God. And may I also suggest something else, folks? If you do want to take a break from being a news hound, so to speak, then use the time to get recharged with God. Use the time to refill your lamp with God. Use the time to pour yourself into the Word of God, to get reacquainted with the Word. Folks, I know that there are many of you that have good intentions. You consider yourself a Christian. You love God. You want to be part of the remnant. You want to be a part of God's elect. And at the same time, you want to understand and have your eyes open to all of the events that are out there. You want to know about them. So you're juggling and you're holding on to two different things in your hand. You're holding in one hand your relationship with God, but then in the other hand, you're holding on to the vigilance of being awake to world events, to the news, to the new world order. And these two things, in a way, when you think about them, are related to one another, but at the same time, they're contrary to one another. They're both. How can they be both? Well, because the events that we're watching happen right now, as far as the realignment of nations, the fall and destruction of financial empires and systems, we know that they're going to give rise to a new financial system that's going to be Bible prophecy. We know that the events happening right now are eventually going to result in the birth of a new world order. We know that the chaos we're witnessing right now is going to result in a new financial system that's going to fulfill the verses in Revelation that we read in the Bible. So those news events are related to spiritual events. But at the same time, some news events can just become so overwhelming because it's dark knowledge. It's knowledge from the tree of good and evil. And that kind of knowledge can wear on a soul. It can wear you out. It can drain you. And so depending on how much capacity you have, depending on the percentage of your mental capacity that's devoted to that information versus your mental capacity devoted to the things of God, there can be an imbalance. So if the mental capacity for dark news is at like 60, 70%, 80%, and your mental capacity that you're allowing for the things of God is only 20 to 25%, folks, it's going to wear you out and your lamp will become dim. So the strategy in this discipline is being able to juggle both of them. So for those of you that may feel overwhelmed right now, maybe you need to turn off all of the news information or turn off a lot of the news information and give yourself more capacity for the things of God. Give yourself more time. Give yourself more devotion to the things of God. So that's what I'm talking about refilling your lamp and getting into the Word. Folks, I know that many of you that are well-meaning, when you look back and if you were to take spiritual inventory and if I was talking to you in person, and if you were honest with me, you might admit and say, you know, Nathan, it's true. My lamp is weaker than I want it to be. And I'm not happy with where it is right now. My friends, all is not lost. That happens from time to time. So the thing to do is to recharge your lamp. And it is as simple as turning off the other information for a while or taking a break from it and just getting a touch from God, spending some extra time with God. Refilling yourself with a touch from God, a healing touch, a special touch. My friends, it's possible. And may I also offer a suggestion of a remedy for this? If you don't attend church and you don't really have a way of getting spiritual food and refilling yourselves with the things of God, if you happen to be a new listener and you're not familiar with the things that we offer here at Watchman's Cry, or if you have not tried it out yet, this ministry's root purpose for existence is to help and encourage and to show people how to find God and how to reach Jesus. God has an answer, my friends. He has your answer. Jesus is your answer. And most of you know this. The lifeline, the remedy, your answer to the big obstacle and the empty feeling that you may have inside is God. It's Jesus, my friends. So this ministry is producing heart-stirring, Holy Ghost-filled sermons that will touch you and bless you if, my friends, I want to qualify it with this, if you are hungry. For those of you that may feel a little bit empty right now, this is good news what I'm telling you. And I'm not saying this to boast, but I'm telling you the truth, folks. This is the purpose of this ministry. God has endorsed this ministry with His Holy Spirit to touch lives. And I have hundreds and hundreds of emails to prove this. Many of you have discovered the special anointing that is on the messages that God helps me to produce here at Watchman's Cry. So if you're not familiar with them, or if you have not had a chance to hear the new messages that I have been producing lately, they're located at watchmanscry.com. Write that down, folks, if you're not familiar with it. Watchmanscry.com. That's WATCHMANSCRY. .com. Folks, go there on the front page. There's a list of several new programs that we have been creating. Go there, download them, listen to them, pray about them, and share them, my friends. Now, this program that you're listening to right now is our new program called News from the Wall. And this program is about news. It's about events. It's about the things that are approaching that are going to affect your life. It's about the events that we are all going to participate in, my friends. Therefore, we need to know about them. So that's what this program is about, News from the Wall. Now, this is a brand new program. This is our second program, but in addition to News from the Wall, we also have another program. And I'm mentioning this because I don't want you to get confused with the two. The other program is called Meet in Due Season. Now, as I said, this one is to inform and warn, but the other one, Meet in Due Season, that one is to touch and to feed those of you that are hungry. And my friends, when I say hungry, I really mean it. And if you go to listen to our Meat in Due Season programs, we have already put up four of them. And I give you the Nathan Liao Watchman's Cry promise. If you listen to those programs with a hungry heart and you really want something from God, my friends, I promise you, God will touch you. He'll do some mighty things for you, my friends, because God's word never, ever returns void. Now, in addition to those two programs, from time to time, then we also have the big gun. It's the Watchman's Cry Canon. And that one's the old Watchman's Cry messages. Those are also on our website. Okay, folks? So I'm mentioning all of these in case you're a new listener or if you have not allowed yourself the time to listen to the meat. Also, I would like to ask this. These programs that I'm talking about are brand new. I just started them in the last several weeks. When you have the time, can you please let me know your thoughts about this new format? I really appreciate hearing from you. I appreciate hearing that God has blessed you and this ministry is actually making a difference in your life. So when you have the time, please go to watchmanscry.com and email your thoughts to us. We love hearing from you. All right, folks? Now, as we were saying at the beginning of this program, America is still a melting candle, my friends. I know that's a negative statement, but it's true. It has not gone away. Now, over the last several weeks, it does seem strangely quiet, though. I know the average person could go to the stock market and see what the Dow has done in the last several days, and they could say, Nathan, what do you mean America's melting? Look at the Dow. But my friends, when we look at the last quarter, it's a different story. The Dow has lost hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars, probably even in the trillions, in the last quarter. And when I say the last quarter, I'm talking about July, August, and September, the third quarter of 2011. The Dow had some of the worst numbers since the big crash at the end of 07 and 08. So America is still in trouble, my friends. It's not going to return to normal. And in the next few minutes, I'm going to share some details of some things to shed light on that diagnosis. And in addition to America, on the other side of the pond, Europe is also still a classic building, very beautiful classic building, infected with termites. And the termites are eating away her infrastructure, her supports, her foundation. And the pest control man is in the crawl space under this classic building, trying to kill the bugs. But here's the bad part, folks. The pest control men that go under the crawl space keep disappearing. They go in and they never come out. Or a new one may arrive and he will get down on his knees, turn on his flashlight and look into the crawl space. He'll peek in there and then he'll come back out and say, sorry, but this problem is too big for me. I gotta go. So we have on two continents many nations that are in trouble right now, infected with the same illness, infected with the same contagion, infected with an illness that they do not understand or they refuse to cure. It's a little of both. For those that say they have the cure, it seems that they're trying to cure their illness with barbaric elixirs and archaic medicine. The true and real doom of these nations has not been canceled. The real crisis that is still in motion is the sovereign debt crisis. The sovereign debt crisis of America and the Eurozone. And both of these currencies carry a debt load too heavy, too acidic, and too radioactive. Conclusion? It's only a matter of time, folks. The great and mighty crash of the first world's industrial wealth is assured to arrive on both continents. When we put Elenin aside, this thing is sure, my friends. It's going to be a financial catastrophe that will not only rival the first depression of the 30s, but it's going to surpass it. And most of the financial gamblers of Wall Street, they know this, folks. And, you know, here's the really sad part, maybe even the most pathetic part. These people that know that this is going to happen, they cannot wait for it to happen. They slobber over it because they plan to pillage and plunder the villages when it happens and as it approaches. For those of you that may not be aware or maybe you heard about this, in the last few weeks, there was a trader named Alessio Rastani. And he was interviewed by the BBC. He's a trader of Wall Street, and he made an admission when BBC interviewed him. He admitted that he loves seeing the catastrophe of the financial world right now because he's getting rich off of it. Listen to this interview, folks.
It's going to crash, and it's going to fall pretty hard because markets are ruled right now by fear. Investors and the big money, the smart money, I'm talking about the big funds, the hedge funds, the institutions, they don't buy this rescue plan. They basically they know the market is toast. They know the stock market is finished. The euro, as far as they're concerned, they don't really care. They're moving their money away to safer assets, like treasury bonds, 30-year bonds, and the U.S. dollar. So it's not going to work.
We keep hearing that whatever the politicians are suggesting, and admittedly it's all been rather woolly so far, isn't right. Can you pin down exactly what would keep investors happy, make them feel more confident?
That's a tough one. Personally, it doesn't matter. I'm a trader. I don't really care about that kind of stuff. I go with what if I see an opportunity to make money, I go with that. So for most traders, it's not about, we don't really care that much how they're going to fix the economy, how they're going to fix the whole situation. Our job is to make money from it. And Personally, I've been dreaming of this moment for 3 years. I have a confession, which is I go to bed every night, I dream of another recession. I dream of another moment like this. Why? Because people don't seem to maybe remember, but the 30s depression, the depression in the 30s, wasn't just about a market crash. There were some people who were prepared to make money from that crash. And I think anybody can do that. It isn't just for some people in the elite. Anybody can actually make money. It's an opportunity. When the market crashes, when the euro and the big stock markets crash, if you know what to do, if you have the right plan to set up, you can make a lot of money from this. For example, hedging strategies is one. Then investing in bonds, treasury bonds, that sort of stuff.
If you could see the people around me, jaws have collectively dropped at what you've just said. I mean, we appreciate your candor. However, it doesn't help the rest of us, does it? Or the rest of the Eurozone.
I would say this to everybody who's watching this. This economic crisis is like a cancer. If you just wait and wait thinking this is going to go away, just like a cancer, it's going to grow and it's going to be too late. What I would say to everybody is get prepared. This is not a time right now to wishful thinking the government is going to sort things out. The governments don't rule the world. Goldman Sachs rules the world. Goldman Sachs does not care about this rescue package, neither does the big funds. So actually, what I would actually tell people, I want to help people. People can make money from this. It isn't just traders. What they need to do is learn about how to make money from a downward market. The first thing people should do is protect their assets, protect what they have. Because in less than 12 months, my prediction is the savings of millions of people is going to vanish. And this is just the beginning. So I would say be prepared and act now. The biggest risk people can take right now is not acting.
Alessio Rastani, thank you very much for talking to us.
Well, there you go, folks. One guy telling the truth about how financially bloodthirsty this species of bankers really is. Who cannot wait to see this happen. And if they can't wait for it to happen, they're going to let it happen. Interesting, huh, folks? Alessio Rastani, he said that the economy has a cancer. It's not going to go away. And he also said to the person sitting around doing nothing, it's going to be too late. What does it mean? Well, I would assume that he's talking about the crash. The crash is going to arrive, and then the opportunity to be ready is going to be gone. The lost opportunity is going to turn into regret. He said it's not a time for wishful thinking. The government's not going to save us. And wasn't it interesting that he also said that governments don't rule the world. Goldman Sachs rules the world. And here was the big thing he said, folks. In the next 12 months, the savings of millions of Americans is going to vanish. And this is just the beginning. Incredible, huh, folks? These are the things that we've been warning about for several years now. And here we have a trader who knows that these things are going to be coming. So, folks, it's very important that we do not go to sleep. I know that several months ago when things were really happening, events were really happening in systematic fashion, and a lot of people were on the alert. Many of you that listen to these programs were on the alert, but then it got quiet, and I don't know if it is going to be in the next few weeks or the next month or two, but I do know this. It is going to happen. It is approaching. It's going to arrive. So please, let's continue our vigilance. Now, aside from Alessio Rastani that you just heard, there was another trader several weeks ago that also made an admission. He's the former chairman of the Hungarian Stock Exchange, and he wrote an article for a Hungarian publication. This is what he said. The euro is practically dead. He said Europe faces a financial earthquake from the Greek default. It's beyond rescue. And the only remaining question is how many days the hopeless actions of the European governments and the European Central Bank can keep up Greece's spirits. And then he said when the default finally happens, it's going to trigger an immediate magnitude 10 earthquake across all of Europe. Holders of Greek government bonds will have to write off their entire investments. And then he said that the southern European nation, Greece, will stop paying salaries and pensions, and ATMs in the country are going to empty within minutes. In other words, welcome to the apocalypse. Now, as we just heard from the trader Alessio Rastani, also in the last week, BBC had on their BBC Newsnight financial program an interview with a former IMF advisor. His name is Dr. Robert Shapiro. And on this program, Dr. Shapiro, he laid it all out on the line. because according to him, he said that if certain measures are not addressed in the very near future, this planet is going to experience a worldwide financial meltdown in sovereign debt. And he said when this begins, it's going to start a chain reaction of meltdown across Europe, and then it's going to affect the largest banks in the world. It's going to affect European banks, as well as banks in the United States and in Japan. After Dr. Shapiro spoke, then another individual, Lord Miners, who was the financial services secretary from 08 to 2010, he also stated that the world faces a perfect storm right now. Now, the interesting thing about the comments from Dr. Shapiro, he said that this is going to happen in the next few weeks, folks. So here we are at the beginning of October. And if this thing happens in the next few weeks, that means by the end of next month, we could be looking back possibly and potentially an entire different landscape in the next month or two. If these estimates are right, folks, this thing is not going to teeter forever. The kettle is over a very hot flame, and the temperature's rising in that kettle, folks. So listen to this interview from BBC Newsnight.
It's true.
Let's suppose that political leaders remain dilatory or resistant. What happens?
If they cannot address this in a credible way, I believe within perhaps 2 to 3 weeks we will have a meltdown in sovereign debt, which will produce a meltdown across the European banking system. We're not just talking about a relatively small Belgian bank. We're talking about the largest banks in the world, the largest banks in Germany, the largest banks in France. That will spread. It will spread to the United Kingdom, in part through sovereign debt problems in Ireland. It will spread everywhere because the global financial system is so interconnected. All those banks are counterparties to every significant bank in the United States and in Britain and in Japan and around the world. This would be a crisis that would be, in my view, more serious than the crisis in 2008.
Is he exaggerating, Lord Miners?
I wish I could give a more cheerful complexion, but we're on the verge of a perfect storm. A number of European countries cannot raise money. Banks are therefore increasingly worried about the default. Therefore, people won't lend money to banks, and therefore banks won't lend money to business. So something has to be done, and has to be done substantially across the whole of Europe. If you do it individually, country by country, you should simply shift the focus from one country or one bank to another. That's why in October 2008 we obliged all the major UK banks to increase their capitalization.
We're often accused, journalists, of being apocalyptic, but this is an apocalypse, isn't it? I mean, this.
So there you go, folks. Whether or not Elenin caused earthquakes, whether or not Elenin will cause earthquakes, let's set that aside. We don't have to look up to see that major events are still approaching, folks. I've been talking about this for several years. God is judging the land of America, my friends. That's a given. Most people know this. And for those that scratch their heads and say, why? Well, the answer is in front of our eyes. All we have to do is look around. All we have to do is turn on the TV. Look at the publications. Look at the exports of America. Now, the factories are, of course, gone now. And all we are left with here in America is the information exports, the information content. And that content that is exported now from America is the content of entertainment. And unfortunately, my friends, America exports infections and diseased morality. America is the number one exporter of pornography. She's the number one exporter of filthy movies, publications that cause humans to be in chains. America is rotten, illicit to the core. She has a cancer, and I've talked about this many, many times, folks. I don't have to convince you. The agenda of the progressive here in America continues with their army of heartless zombies who only want to indoctrinate all of the citizens with their ideas that reward pleasure and reward the flesh, that destroy families, that destroy reputations. The Bible says, "Woe unto them that call good evil and evil good." And that's what we see now. This country is now a hater of God. America hates God. America hates the statutes of God. The majority of Americans have kicked God out of their house and censored his thoughts from their conversations and their relationships. God has been censored from the role models of America, from the education of America, the shameful acts of carnality are now paraded in America. The shameful acts that would embarrass our grandparents 20 years ago are now open and laid bare in America. America's fraught with scandalous behavior, immoral behavior, destructive behavior, but they can't get enough of it. The appetite for this activity cannot be quenched. And now we are producing pagan children who are godless, who are heathen in their core beliefs, pagan children who do not know about their creator, pagan children who are going to, at this point, ensure the future of a dark nation. My friends, America has become an embarrassment to the world. We have the number one incarceration rate. We have the highest divorce rate in the globe. We have the highest rate of people addicted to antidepressants. We have the highest murder rate. We have one of the highest pedophile rates in the entire world. We have one of the highest rates of slaughter. The abortion mills are alive and well. Business is booming. America is dying from the inside out. So is it any wonder that in the physical realm, America has fallen apart? That America's buildings have peeling paint, are empty? Is it any wonder that America is now for sale? Her infrastructure is for sale? Her resources are for sale? Folks, that is not the fulfillment of the song, God Bless America. That is a story that's being talked about and communicated by families that are falling apart, stressed out, overwhelmed by all of this financial ruin and lost wealth. In the past week, a report came out that there's going to be approximately 10 million more houses that are going to go into default in the next few years here in America. 10 million, my friends. Right now, there is a glut of millions and millions of houses, a glut that could not be sold for years and years. It would take a healthy economy several years to sell the glut that we have right now. But on top of that, we have 10 million more houses that are going to go into default, into foreclosure. Folks, these are numbers that do not lie. So if we have 10 million more houses that are going to go into default, that means that the values of houses are still going to fall. The housing market is not finished crashing yet. We have not reached the bottom. The bottom will not be reached for years and years. I have another report here that says home prices are not going to rise until 2020. By the end of this decade, what is that, 8 more years? Home prices are unlikely to recover. Mortgage defaults are going to persist for years. This is not God Bless America, folks. This is judgment. This is, in man's terms, it's not a recession, my friends. It's not a recovery. This is a depression. I read a story that made me snicker just a few days ago. They said, based on the jobs report, some of the analysts were worried that the jobs report would signify that the recession might have returned here to America. But good news, it didn't. Folks, they're still playing around with their little smokescreen, with their incense of lies, singing to each other their deceptions, telling one another that all is well. Folks, all you have to do is drive down the downtown areas of many, many small rural towns across America. I'm not talking about the downtown areas that have big buildings. I mean rural America. Drive around in the downtown areas of rural America and you'll see the recovery that is not happening. Buildings with for sale signs on them. Buildings that are empty. Buildings that have been abandoned. Buildings that are being ransacked and strip mined for their metals. This is happening nationwide, folks. So while it may seem that we are in a lull, it may seem that things are quiet right now, folks, please do not lose your vigilance. I have been warning for several years. Those of you that have been on board with the warning message, I know that many of you are also trying to prepare. And my friends, the best thing that we could be doing right now while we are in this lull, while things are quiet right now, is to take advantage of the time. It doesn't mean waste the time. It doesn't mean just sit around and let several months go by and not prepare. Folks, take advantage of the time right now. We need to be taking advantage of the time to be getting spiritually stronger with God, to get our house in order, to rebuild relationships. We need to be cleaning up all of the messes that we've made over the last few years, folks. A lot of us have made some messes in our past. We need to clean those messes up, and we need to be seeking God and getting restored with God, getting strengthened with God. In addition to that, we need to be warning our loved ones and our friends that it's still coming. Because, folks, this is what's going to happen to those that do not prepare. when the dollar crashes, when the stores become looted and ransacked, or when things become too expensive at the stores, when food becomes out of reach because the prices are going to rise, some of those relatives that are close to you and some of those friends that are close to you, if you have them and you're not warning them, if you're preparing and they're not, you're going to be feeding them. Now, some of you may say, no, I'm not, Nathan. I won't feed them. Well, perhaps you're going to have to deal with that between you and God. But right now, while you can, do your best, my friends, to talk to them about this. If they don't believe you, if they mock you and make fun of you, then pray for them. But at least do this, folks. At minimum, stay vigilant and continue your preparation that you're doing. Well, it looks like we've come to the end of the program. My friends, share this message with your friends, your family, your loved ones. Download it. Put it on YouTube. You are free to share it. You can put this message up on other websites, but share it. All right, folks? I want to say real quick that if you appreciate the work that we're doing here at this ministry, we appreciate your support, my friends. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website and contact us there. My friends, stay vigilant. Keep fighting the good fight. Keep listening to these programs. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.